Let me add my welcome to all of you who are here from the Theological Foundations for Youth and also from the Youth Leadership Conference. We do trust that God has encouraged you in your faith, you who have already been meeting for a week and those of you who have been together for this weekend. Some weeks ago, I preached from Psalm 127 and then from Psalm 128 because we have families who are struggling and we have families who simply need encouraging. And that then led to a series through the rest of what we know as the Songs of Ascents. There are 15 Psalms in the Book of Psalms for worship, Psalm 120 to Psalm 132, that are entitled in our Bible Songs of Ascents. And so we've gone from 127, now we've come to the last of those 15 Psalms, Psalm 134. So if you would like to read along, please turn in your Bibles to the 134th Psalm. If you are using the Bible in the pew and you would like a page number, it's on page 971. Now this morning I'm going to read from the English Standard Version, but I invite you to read along in your version. Psalm 134. Let's listen together as the Holy Spirit speaks to us from this God's Word. Come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, He who made heaven and earth. Let's unite our hearts together in prayer. Father in heaven, we again look to you, asking that you would be pleased through your Holy Spirit to write yet this word upon our hearts so we might walk as those who are children of the light, no longer beset by darkness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I suggest that this psalm calls us as Christians to encourage each other to bless the Lord because we live in His blessing. So we are encouraged to spur one another on. Bless the Lord, because we live in His blessing. And as we unpack this, you notice that I'm calling this psalm a psalm that sets before us the circle of blessing. In order for us to appreciate this circle of blessing, we need to begin by understanding the feasts that are celebrated. The feasts that are celebrated as the people of God are called by the Lord three times a year to come together in Jerusalem, there at Mount Zion, there at the temple. If you want to read about those feasts this afternoon for some Lord's Day afternoon encouragement, you want to look at Deuteronomy chapter 16. And you want to look at Leviticus chapter 23, and you want to read Exodus chapter 23 and also chapter 34. Now the first feast is that of unleavened bread. Unleavened bread. This was a feast that began in connection with the Passover on the 14th day of the month of Nisan. Not the car, but the calendar of the Hebrew people. On the 14th day of that month, the people of God were to come together at Jerusalem and celebrate the Passover. Now we understand that this took place on a Friday for the people of Israel, for the people of God in the old administration of the covenant of grace. But their calendar meant the day began at sunset right, to sunset, whereas our calendar is midnight to midnight. So when we find Jesus, for instance, celebrating the Passover, what does he do? Well, Thursday night, he institutes the Lord's Supper, and then Friday, he goes to the cross as the Passover Lamb of God on the day of Passover to take upon himself the wrath that we deserve for our sins. So Jesus, the Passover Lamb, comes on a Friday, but for us it's Thursday, the evening, and then Friday he's sacrificed. And this Passover looks forward to that. So the Old Testament people of God are coming to celebrate the Passover, but in doing that, then they celebrate this Feast of Unleavened Bread, which was to take place for 7 days, and it would begin the Monday after the Passover was celebrated, or the Sabbath after the Passover was celebrated. And so you have then 7 days where the people of God eat bread without leaven in it. And there are two reasons for that. First of all, the people of God, when they're redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, when this angel passes over them, if you please, there in Egypt, if they have the blood where it was supposed to be, their lives were no longer given to sin. And leaven in this case represents sin. And so the people of God are to rid themselves of leaven. Now, the second reason why they were to have this Feast of Unleavened Bread was to remind them that on the Passover, they were to make bread, but there could not be any leaven in it, because if you put leaven in dough, you have to let it rise before you can bake it. Well, they didn't have time for the dough to rise if leaven were put in it. And so they were to have unleavened bread to remember the haste with which they left Egypt. But beyond those significant details, we read in Deuteronomy 16 that this Feast of the Unleavened Bread was fundamentally to remind the people of God that they were delivered from Egypt, that house of slavery. And that's then a picture of what it's like when we who are enslaved to sin come to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ. We're taken out of that slavery to sin to newness of life in Jesus Christ. So this blessing that the people of God are enjoying because they're coming now to this feast. They're a blessed people coming to the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Yahweh had blessed them with salvation. The second feast is the Feast of Weeks. It's also known as the Feast of Pentecost. The people of God would count 7 weeks, or 49 days, from the day following the Sabbath after the Passover. And on the 50th day, or Pentecost, the 7-day Feast of Weeks would commence. And this feast was to celebrate the first fruits of the harvest. And a free will offering was brought by everyone in the household. And we find in Scripture the father, the mother, the sons, the daughters, the male and female servants, as well as the Levites, the sojourners, those who are just in the land visiting, if you please, the fatherless and the widow. Everyone within the corporate covenant community of the people of God were called by God to come once a year to celebrate this Feast of Weeks, giving thanks to God that he does give us our daily bread. So Yahweh had blessed them with the fruit early on in the growing season. The third feast to which the people of God were called is that of Tabernacles. Tabernacles. This feast was a 7-day celebration as well. The feast was connected with the harvest at the end of the growing season. This recognized God's blessing his people and those who were connected with them to the food and the drink that they enjoyed each day of their lives. And so this Feast of Booths, this Feast of Tabernacles, was a joyful celebration. And perhaps we here in the United States have on our Thanksgiving Day maybe a fulfillment of the Feast of Booths or the Feast of Tabernacles, where we give God the praise and the glory and we bless His name for His having blessed us with the abundant harvest that we enjoy that then takes us on through the winter months. So the people of God, as they're called to these three feasts annually, are a people who have enjoyed the blessing of God in their salvation, the blessing of God in the early fruit and in the latter harvest of the crops that God provided. So He is their Redeemer and He is their Sustainer, and they understand that to be His great blessing in their lives. And so it's because they enjoy that blessing, they hear then God say, "Come," and they come. Now, as they approach the temple, as they approach Mount Zion, as they approach Jerusalem, the commentators tell us they've been singing Psalm 120 now through Psalm 134. And they come to this last psalm, and what do? As they see now the lights, because it's at night, we're told, of those who are laboring in the temple. Well, they don't say, "Here we are," period. They say, "Bless the Lord. Behold, bless the Lord. All you servants of the Lord, you who serve the Lord at night, bless the Lord. We're here." You see how this cycle of blessing is beginning to unfold. They're enjoying God's blessing, salvation from their sin, and the daily food they enjoy. They come to celebrate the feasts, and they say, "As you see us coming, here's what you should do. Bless the Lord." You know, it's fun to come to worship early and watch people come in. "Thanks, Lord, for that person. Thanks, Lord, for that person. I bless you for those people. Bless you for these." Why? Because your coming is an indication that you enjoy the blessing of God that these feasts represent as they're fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Right? You come to worship each Lord's Day because you've enjoyed the Passover, the unleavened bread, salvation in Jesus Christ. Because you've enjoyed early food and late food. You know, that bedtime? No. Because you enjoy food. And you want to come together at the call of God to have the people of God bless God. So we find then, bless the Lord. That's what they ask those who are there to do. And we're going to quickly notice the who, we're going to notice the where, and we're going to notice the what. Well, who? They're the servants of the Lord. These are the Levites. These are the ones that the Lord has set apart from all the rest of the people in order to represent the people before the Lord as they come to worship. They would take the offering that the people of God would bring and they would sacrifice that offering for the people. What happens? We come together and we have those who are ordained by God at the call of the congregation to lead us in our worship of God. And so we had Glenn Ailey here, one of our elders, to preside, and then I'm called to come forward and open God's Word to us. This is the servants of the Lord, whom God has set apart to offer the praise of the people, for the people, to the Lord, and in this case, to bless the Lord for the evidence of the Lord's grace in their lives. And what does it mean to bless the Lord? Well, it certainly means that we praise God for all of His attributes. It certainly means that we give thanks to Him for the redemption that we enjoy. We kind of understand this a little bit, I think, because we say when we sit down together at a meal, what do? We give thanks, or some people say, we offer a blessing. God bless this food to our use and us to your service. Lord, we bless you for this food that we enjoy. That's why we give thanks. That's why we say a blessing when we eat food together. The Lord was to be blessed because it was His work of grace in the lives who are making this pilgrimage to the feast. His grace is what has drawn them there. Where? The house of the Lord. What's significant of the house of the Lord? Well, this is the place that God delighted to make His name dwell in the midst of His people. Do you find it interesting that at the center of the tribes of Israel is the temple? Central to our lives is Jesus Christ, who takes up residence within us as we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So you see how in the old administration of the covenant, the people of God who are serving in the house of the Lord are called to bless God. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. We're to bless the Lord. What? Well, they are to, with hands lifted toward the holy place, bless the Lord. To lift our hands is to say, we are yours. Is that why when we surrender, we raise our hands? And isn't that what it is to become a Christian? We surrender our lives to Jesus Christ. With those hands lifted high to Him, the servants of the Lord thank God, praise God, bless the Lord for the salvation that has worked effectually in the lives of those who are here now gathering to participate in these feasts. And it's toward the Kadosh. It's toward the holy. It's toward the place where God delights to dwell in the midst of His people. Not in the court, but in the holy place, and certainly the Holy of Holies, where His name and the glory, the Shekinah, dwell. If we may speak about the origin of the circle of blessing, it would be the redeeming and sustaining grace of Yahweh exercised toward His covenant people in delivering them from slavery in Egypt and sustaining them through the wilderness and planting them in the land flowing with milk and honey, as depicted by these three feasts to which these people made their way three times annually. Those so blessed then called upon the servants of the Lord to greet them as they arrived during the time probably of the evening sacrifice, perhaps even later on in the evening, that they would bless the God who had saved them as they each one partake of the position that the Lord has them fulfill within His covenant community. And then finally, as the people of God have now taken that last step so as to enter into one of these three feasts, what do? They say to those who are set apart by the Lord, they say to those who are serving there in the temple, would you please bless us from the God who made the heavens and the earth. Don't we come week by week to be blessed by God as we draw near to Him and worship Him? May the Lord bless you from Zion. May He who made heaven and earth. The circle is complete. The people of God have made their way to the temple to celebrate the blessing of their Redeemer. Yahweh delivered them from Egypt by passing over their house because of the blood on the doorpost and lintel and fed them throughout their wilderness journey. He is the one who delivered them into the promised land. He is the one who established His dwelling place in their midst, to which they came three times a year to enjoy this blessing that God would invoke upon them. At the end of many of the worship services here, I will pronounce the Aaronic benediction. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause His face to shine on you. The Lord lift up the light of His countenance on you and give you peace. We gather as the people of God to enjoy the blessing that God promises to bestow upon those who are His as we gather week by week to worship Him. Well, how does this then encourage us as Christians? We are to engage, or we are to encourage each other to bless the Lord because we live in His blessing. Well, we all understand that since the advent of Jesus, His perfect life, His sacrificial death, His burial, His resurrection, His ascension, and His coronation, everyone who believes on Him unto everlasting life now is a priest unto the Lord. And so as such, it is our responsibility to encourage one another to bless the Lord. Why? To remind each other that we all together are living in His blessing. We enjoy because of the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. Is the conversation in your household? Is the conversation in your friends' groupings and gatherings? I don't want to say cliques because that's a negative thing. But when you're with your friends, and when you're with your family, and when you're out in the marketplace and see others whom you know to be in Christ, are you like Boaz was, as recorded in Ruth 2:4, when he comes to his harvesters, "The Lord be with you." And the harvesters reply, "The Lord bless you." Is it common parlance? Is it our everyday conversation to speak of the blessings that we enjoy in Christ Jesus to those around us? That's what this psalm is calling us to be about. What stifles us too often from that? One reason that we're not given to talking about the blessings of God is simply because maybe we have not enjoyed the blessings of God. Maybe there are people even here this morning who have not come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You haven't come to Christ and repented of your sins and trusted in Him and embraced the salvation that God has for you in His Son. And if you haven't, then do that now. cry out to the Lord to save you from your sins and the wrath that those sins will bring upon you. But those of us who have enjoyed the faith that comes by the grace of God that has enabled us to lay hold of Jesus Christ, what holds us back from encouraging each other to bless the Lord because we live in His blessing? Well, perhaps we take that blessing for granted. Perhaps we take it for granted. Many of you are covenant children, and you've enjoyed a sense of the salvation that you have in Jesus from as far back as you can remember. And so you live your life knowing the Savior. But do you talk about the Savior whom you've known all your life and encourage those around you to bless Him as you're blessing Him when you talk to them about Him? Perhaps we don't want to speak about Him as much as we ought to because we forget what it cost our Heavenly Father so that He would be able to bless us. We forget that it cost Him His only begotten Son, who came to this earth and tabernacled among us and was tempted at every point as we are, yet without sin, only to go to the cross, where as the perfect Lamb of God, He would take the wrath of God that you and I deserve for our sins. Do we meditate on what it cost God to bless us with the salvation that we enjoy? Do we marvel that Jesus would say, "May this cup pass"? No, not my will, but yours. That He would go to that cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? Do we remember what it cost our God to bless us with the salvation that we enjoy? When we meditate on the blessings that we enjoy in Christ Jesus, how can we do anything but encourage others to bless the Lord? Because they with us live in His blessings. What will you talk with each other after the benediction is pronounced? It's wonderful to talk about the things of your life that took place this past week, as you talk about them rooted in the God who blessed you with everything that happened in your life this past week. Do you understand? I am so thankful for this shiny, clean car that I have because God gave me this gift. I am so thankful for the food that I enjoy and that we're going to celebrate as a nation liberty from tyranny. But are we celebrating it because of Jesus? The circle of blessing. God blesses us. We come and call His people to bless Him, and then we enjoy His blessing upon us. May our lives be marked by thanksgiving to God, praise to His name, that He would be blessed because He has so blessed us in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, How we thank you for the great salvation that we enjoy in Him who loved us and gave His Son for us, in Him who loved us and gave Himself on the cross for us, in Him who loved us and brought to bear that salvation in our lives. Thank you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that we're part of this cycle of blessing, this circle of blessing. And may we indeed encourage one another to bless you as we live out our lives in that blessing that you have bestowed upon us. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen.